Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text for today will be taken from our gospel reading in Matthew chapter 4. This can be one of those Sundays during the church year that we really don't like too much. Maybe we label it Evangelism Sunday, or maybe we have an Evangelism Sunday and we use the gospel reading for today. But we hear about the time where Jesus goes down by the Sea of Galilee. He sees Peter and Andrew and James and John, and he calls them to follow them. He says, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And what do? Well, they drop everything. They leave their nets right there. They leave their homes and their families, and they follow after Jesus. And we hear that message, and perhaps we leave somewhat perplexed, in doubt, maybe even feeling a little bit guilty. As we hear about this, we know what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be fishers of men, and yet we struggle with exactly how is it that we do that. And so we may leave the service feeling a little bit left out, like that's not me, that's not a part of my life. And so we wonder, how is it that this text applies to us? But maybe there's a different way. Maybe there's a different way where we don't have to leave feeling on the outside, not a part of God's mission, that we're somehow not doing what we are supposed to be doing. Maybe there's a way that we can hear this word from God and respond to it faithfully, being a part of what God calls us to do. In order to do that this morning, then I'd like to think about this text both theologically and practically. Let's start with the theological. And when I talk about thinking about it theologically, I just mean, let's think about this text. What is the theology of this text? What is this text saying to us? How can we properly understand it for what it is? So as we begin to do that, we read it in the context of Matthew's gospel. And Matthew is presenting the story of how God has sent Jesus into this world to bring salvation for us. So this is the story of Christ and his salvation. In verse 17 of our text, then it says, "From that time Jesus began to preach, saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" So this really is the beginning of Jesus' public ministry. So there's a lot of things that have already happened in the Gospel of Matthew. I mean, this is the fourth chapter already, right? So there's important things that happen that we need to know, but those are something of a prelude. Even Jesus' baptism and his being tempted in the wilderness, they're all then preparatory for this beginning of Jesus' ministry when he goes out and starts to preach and heal. A couple of verses before this, we've also learned something important, that Jesus has moved to Capernaum. You know that he was raised in Nazareth, and that's where he lived for probably the first 30 years of his life. But now there's a shift, and he moves his home to Capernaum. And while he's there, then he goes down to the sea, and he's walking by the sea, and he finds some people, and he calls them to follow him. He says, there's Peter and Andrew and James and John. And he calls them to follow. Now, the question for today really is, in the context of this story, called to what? We read this and we understand it to be the paradigm for Jesus calling people to follow him. But again, the question is, a paradigm for what? What are they being called to? I would suggest to you today that there are really two things that are going on simultaneously here. There's a broad sense in which we need to understand this call, and a narrow sense. The broad sense is a call to discipleship, and the narrow sense is a call to apostleship. So let's start with the narrow, the call to apostleship. We see Jesus coming down, and he picks out some individuals by name, Andrew and Peter, James and John. So there's a select group of people that they're called into. They're called to be in this small group that is going to be with Jesus. He's going to teach them in a very special way. They're going to be eyewitnesses to the things that he does, and they are going to be in the future the leadership of the church. They're going to be called to be apostles. Now, technically speaking, we understand that that call doesn't actually come until chapter 10 of Matthew, because apostle means one who is sent, and it's not until Matthew chapter 10 that they are actually sent. So we see another very similar passage to the one we have today, where Jesus sends out some of his disciples. But this is a very select group of people. So Jesus calls them to this special position, and he says, "Follow me." And they drop their nets, they leave their occupations and their families, and they follow him. Yeah. And this is what they are called to. They are called to leave everything behind and to be with Jesus. And he says, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." And so he begins to train them to do this, really to enter into the teaching ministry of the church, so that they might be able, when he ascends into heaven, to carry on his work in his place. And so you see there's a very specific calling that's going on for a select few. It's a call to the apostleship. Now we can move on to the call in the broader sense, because at the very same time, there is also a call to discipleship that's going on here, which is a much more general thing. It's more of a call that's put out there to all people, not a select few, but call to all people. "Come and follow me," Jesus says. "Be my disciple. Learn from me. Follow me." And now here, when it's talking about follow me, Jesus doesn't mean literally to drop your nets and leave your homes, but he means be like me. Follow in my ways. Learn from me. Learn what it means to be in the kingdom of God and live in that way. And there were many disciples, even at that time, who were called to this. They weren't called to leave their families, and they did not travel with Jesus, and yet they were still his disciples. "Come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Yes, the call was still for them to be active and engaged in this ministry, this mission of the church, but it was a very different kind of way. So that's the theology. We understand the passage a little bit better now. How does that apply to us? How does it apply to anyone who hears this? And so the question now becomes, where do you find yourself in this passage? Are you called to apostleship, or are you called to discipleship? And so you see, there's a sense in which you're going to apply this very differently to your life than I would to mine. Because I am called by you into the teaching office of the church. And so we do see missionaries and pastors who leave their homes, and they go to a different place in order to be ministers. And yet you are not necessarily called to do that. You're called to a different kind of function. So let's talk specifically then what this call to discipleship for you means. First of all, it's an invitation, right? It's an invitation into the kingdom of heaven. That's what Matthew says. Jesus came and began to preach, "The kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent." See, there's the invitation for us to repent, to turn away from the old things and to be a part of this kingdom that is breaking into this world. And let's understand that the kingdom of God, as we experience it here and now, is just the beginning. It's not the fullness, and we can't get into this today. It's a subject for another day. But what we are experiencing now is yet the beginning of the kingdom of heaven breaking into this world. And there is far more that is to come in the future. But you are invited to be a part of that. And by virtue of your baptism, you enter into that. And by virtue of your worship life, you participate in that. And by virtue of your daily living, you participate in this. But not only is it an invitation, but it's an invitation to follow Jesus. And again, the expectation is not for you to pick up and leave your occupation and your home and to go off and to do something someplace else. No, this is a calling for you to be a disciple, which means to be a learner. And learning includes doing as well. It's not just head knowledge. But it's a calling for you to follow Jesus in his ways, to learn of him. And yes, again, to turn away from the ways of the world. It's going to mean then for you a change in life, that your life will be different because of this. And very frankly, I think we can say, if you're not seeing, you have not seen a change in your life, you're probably not following Jesus. You see, that's what it means. Follow me. Learn from me. Follow me in the ways of God. And then finally, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Again, not in the sense of an apostle or those who are called to a church office wherein they follow in the train of the apostles in the teaching ministry of the congregation. That could be you, but it's not necessarily. You could feel called to that, in which then you will go and begin to prepare for that. But more than likely, it's a call to this discipleship. And what does it mean then for you to be a fisher of men? Well, it's going to mean for you to participate in the ministry of the church, because that is the church's ministry, to be fishers of men. To be going out and to be gathering people in to Christ and to help with that. And of course, there's many ways in which you are able to do that. So you see that there is a different way in which we can hear this passage. One in which we are not so perplexed and we're not leaving in doubt and wondering whether we can do this, but there's a real sense in which we can take up with joy this calling that God has given to us. And very frankly, your presence here today is a big part of that, because you are part of the life of the church. And you come here not just to take, not just to receive, but also to give. And that is a part of being fishers of men, that you're caring for one another. And it's kind of a neat day today. We've come together in one service, right? And so there may even be people sitting around you that you don't know very well because they go to the other service. Make sure you say hello and introduce yourself to them. There's no embarrassment that you don't know them very well. Here's a great opportunity to do that. But again, that's all part of this caring for one another, making fishers of men. And your gifts that you will be giving today are a very important part of this being fishers of men. Because very frankly, we live in the world and it costs money. It costs money to have a church. And if we care about that, if we want that here, if we want the church to do well, and we want the church to be doing what Christ calls us to do, being fishers of men, your gifts are extremely important for that. You know, and this afternoon, or later this morning, actually, we're going to be approving a budget for the next year. It's important for you to be involved in that discussion, to understand that. What does it mean? What are we using those gifts for? How are we seeking to be good stewards of that which God has given to us? And you can be a part of being fishers of men by even just walking down the hall and attending that meeting a little bit later on. I know it's not something that you're really looking forward to. It's not like the family reunion that you got on the calendar for 9 or 12 months and you're just like, can't wait for it to come so you can see all those great people again. You know, that's not the kind of thing a voters assembly is. But it's important. It's important for us to give attention to the details. It is a legal thing, too. We have to do this. But beyond that, you know, the things that we talk about, and we encourage one another in that, and we think about how it is that we can do what God has called us to do. That is all a very important part of it. So I encourage you in that this afternoon, or later this morning as well. But again, the idea is that this passage is not something that's apart from us. You know, sometimes we hear it, oh, being fishers of men, well, that's not me. I can't be a part. No, you can, and you are. You hear the word of God, and you rejoice that you can be a part of what God is doing here in this world through this congregation. In Jesus' name, amen.